Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Robbie Jenkins. I am here now in Houston. Moved here last year from Utah, although I'm originally from the South. I've lived all over, but I usually tell people I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Lived in Florida for a little bit, Alabama. But I went out to school at BYU in Utah. Right out of school, I started working for a digital news company, a large one there in Salt Lake. Started working on my master's. That's where I met my wife and we got married. And then that's where we started a medical device manufacturing company called Rapid Reboot. So we did that for a number of years, been in a bit of a transition. We're now here in Houston working with iCryo. iCryo is a health and wellness franchise that's now international. So they just opened up their first locations in Canada. They're looking at expanding in Europe. It's kind of like they offer a lot of medical services, but it's like a health and wellness retail center where you can go in, you can get red light therapy, cryotherapy. We were actually, and still are through Rapid Reboot, a vendor of theirs. That's how we got connected with them. My wife and I developed a relationship with Kyle Jones, the founder of iCryo, years ago when they were, I think they had like two or three locations, and now they're we're about to open the 40th location with several hundred locations sold. So looking at doubling the size of the company as far as open centers in the next year, and then, you know, continually probably to double every year with just how many they've sold and continue to sell. So it's growing, a lot of growing pains with that. And they needed some people on the operations side and then on the marketing side. So my wife is the director of operations. It's kind of the title that they gave her. She just has taken that on. And then I'm over more on the marketing, digital advertising side. So my background, my undergrad degree is in public relations. My master's degree is in communications. And then for Rapid Reboot, I did a lot. Well, I can see the name and did all the branding and the logos and everything like that. I actually have a little bit of a background in product design. So I designed some of our products as well, but, you know, just handled a lot of the communications, did all of our digital advertising, all of our partnerships, athletes, brand campaigns, you name it, email campaigns, stuff like that. So for iCryo, awesome. I've been doing a lot of the digital advertising and stuff of that nature.
I was about Sunrise Blanket. Are you still involved with that company?
Yeah. So that is, it's just kind of a side thing. My wife wanted something that was kind of entirely hers a couple years ago. And she loves blankets. I mean, she sleeps with just a blanket. I've bought her multiple blankets, but she just wanted something that was kind of hers and that she could grow. So we have a lot of experience sourcing products and
get that. Could you try again?
Oh, that's my watch. So she's like, I really want to do blankets and just kind of have it on the side. And so she launched that. And of course I've helped her and that's been awesome. It's nice because we're not dependent on it. You know, it's not like, we need to sell X amounts to be able to get by. But that one's been awesome because the mission of it, we donate a blanket for everyone that's purchased.
Oh, wow.
And we donate with hospital partners. So we've been able to donate to Primary Children's Hospital there in Utah, the Huntsman Cancer Hospital there in Utah. And then also we've developed a really good relationship with Houston Methodist here in Houston. And in fact, last month we made our largest donation to date. We were able to donate more than 500 blankets to Houston Methodist and kind of do like a one-time donation. So that was our biggest single time donation. It was awesome to be a part of it.
Well, it's cool. Yeah. Cause you definitely have the experience, like, as you said, right? Like in branding and marketing. So like to just start a brand, essentially, I mean, you have the skills to do that and launch something like that. Yeah. Blanket. So for the blanket, it's like, has that been like something that you've run like a lot of ads or like, how have you been able to grow that business?
We've done some ads. It's a really seasonal item. So we haven't really seen a lot of, and we didn't really run a lot of ads over the summer because we kind of knew it was a seasonal item. So we made sure that we had some of the Google search ads, and we ran some awareness ads during the fall, which were great. But a lot of it's just been really kind of word of mouth. We've worked with a lot of, let's say, influencers or people that just have a presence online who are dealing with cancer. A lot of moms who, you know, maybe their husband or their kids in particular are dealing with cancer. And they just, this is a time in their life where they need a ton of comfort. And a blanket is something really simple. And we've tried to brand the blankets in a way that they feel very unique, just the whole experience, unboxing.
Right.
Then just the name, Sunrise, very warm and comforting. The blankets are, we wanted to make them incredibly high quality blankets too. So that really helps. People have loved them. So we've done it that way. And we've now started branching out where these people, we're setting up codes where if anyone buys through this person's code, then we will donate to the hospital of their choosing. It's not just hospitals that we have relationships with. So it's a way for us to expand our network of hospitals for donations in the future. But then it also feels very kind of special. For example, we had one that was, there was a kid, Charlie, in San Francisco, dealing, I think, with leukemia or some cancer of some sort. And everyone who bought through their unique code, we were then able to donate one to that hospital. So that was an awesome, awesome campaign. So it's been mostly that we've been growing it and focusing on that organic growth.
That's awesome. So I guess, you know, back to iCryo, right? So I guess of right now, what is your priority with the business in 2024?
2024, it's opening a lot of locations. And I've actually moved more. I'm still involved in a lot of the digital advertising, that comes for open centers. But now my focus is being shifted towards more of the pre-sales. And I'm being kind of tasked with the pre-sales, let's say, coaching to a degree. So before a center opens, when it's in construction, you know, 3-4 months out, they want to start getting members and guests lined up with passes, but they can't sell them yet. So they basically need to get these commitments, and you know, they want to open their doors and start being profitable from day one. Especially with, you know, with a franchise that they've been building out, you're looking at a year or 2 years of them investing money into something that's not open yet. So they want to, again, be profitable starting day one. So we, and I in particular, trying to coach them through how to do that. It involves a lot of pop-up events, networking with like-minded businesses, working with a lot of influencers, which I have a lot of experience doing with Sunrise and Rapid Reboot. And then the digital component too, running awareness ads, lead generation ads, where people say that they're interested in the services. And then it's on the franchisee to hop on the phone, text them, follow up, and talk about pricing and the benefits and everything like that.
So how does it work?
That's right? My focus.
I'm curious, right? Because like a lot of companies, they have their own franchisees that they get like autonomy over the ads. Like for iCryo, is it more of like iCryo is like running, I don't know, just like X amount per month on ads for every location, and they're doing it for the franchisees, or are the franchisees responsible in any way? Like what does that look like for the business?
Yeah. So iCryo has its own advertising agency, which is technically separate, but we're kind of embedded with the iCryo corporate team. I mean, my office is there at the iCryo headquarters. As far as the monthly budget, those are set by each franchisee as to what they're going to spend on ads. There are some requirements, some marketing requirements in their franchise agreements that they have to be spending a certain percentage of revenue on marketing. And there is also a general pool that a lot of the royalties will feed into to grow the brand as a whole. Sell new franchise territories and franchises and, you know, market the brand as a whole, because of course a rising tide lifts all boats. The way that we have structured it is that all these franchise locations are built on the same website, essentially. So we're able to funnel a lot of traffic, and then obviously people can kind of self-select based on their location, what services they're interested in, and where those services might be available. But yeah, it's really, so we work individually with each center to set their budgets and maybe what their focus is, depending on the demographic area, factors, maybe competition, right? Like there might be more IV places in their area, so we need to tailor the message. But as a whole, obviously, there's going to be brand elements that make it easy for us to take from the marketing team and share across all those centers, videos that are created, the like.
Well, I was curious, right, just from your side of the business, like, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face right now at iCryo?
The biggest challenge, I would say it's the scalability. It's really just the repeatability of processes. That's something that my wife she's really good at. She's a very meticulous, she's very pragmatic and logical thinker. She likes developing processes that can be repeated. Because in the past, you know, you open a few locations and you're trying to figure it out. But now, I mean, now that iCryo is at 40 open locations and just, we're going to double that pretty much this next year. It's like these processes need to be really hammered down, or else they're just inefficient and people are going to get behind the development timeline. They're not going to be successful in pre-sales. So really creating good processes that allow for scalability, automating processes is a huge part as well. Even automating a lot of the pre-sales materials or founding passes. So we're moving more towards like online booking, where we're trying to help the guest get to, you know, from point A to point B themselves as quickly right. and efficiently as possible. So then it's not on the franchisee to always be on the phone, hand-holding them or answering all the questions, right? The more that we can take off their plate, the more that they can focus on things in center, driving the culture there, leading the team. And it's just better for everybody all around.
Sure. So I guess I'm curious, right? Like when it comes to online automation, so is there a role of AI that's involved when it comes to iCryo? Or if not, like, where do you see AI potentially coming in and playing a role in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, we rely a little bit on AI. I mean, I might be a little too proud of it. I consider myself a good writer, so I don't like to really lean on AI, but it has been good for just getting new, fresh ideas for copy on online ads, just to spit out iterations, right? And then take what I will from that, try to really clean it up, make it sound natural, which I still feel like is a pitfall of AI, as it can come across 100%. As just, yeah, like too cheesy, just unnatural.
Just too many like
I
adjectives.
Do think, yeah, too many adjectives and
you can just tell, like if somebody just writes a message like only using AI, you can just tell. It's like, it's so obvious. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just, it's like no one talks like this. So there's a place for it there. You know, beyond that, I mean, we, you know, looking at, you know, potentially like chat functions, I do think there's a place for it there, right? Where, and you see that a lot across a lot of websites, you open it up and you start having a, you know, hey, how can I help you? And it pops up in the right corner and you start asking questions and it's trying to, you know, it's just a chat bot that's trying to guess and what you're getting at, what you need, so it can direct you in the right place. So I think there may be a place for it there with iCryo. But other than that, I think the focus is really just allowing the user, again, to get to where they need to as quickly as possible. So potentially, again, AI could help in that regard.
So you're saying essentially maybe like a use case for AI, if you're running an ad to a landing page, the chatbot can have a conversation and kind of minimize as much friction as possible for somebody who's interested or has questions and wants to book an appointment, as opposed to having to call and talk to a franchise owner. They can, if they see the ad like in off hours, or, you know, they can easily get their question answered in real time.
Yeah, for sure. Because what we're finding with iCryo is, you know, a lot of the services like cryotherapy, red light therapy, you know, they're still relatively new. Not a lot of people know maybe necessarily the benefits. So there's still a huge education component that needs to happen. So yeah, these are becoming more popular. You have companies like Restore, iCryo, a lot of mom and pop IV shops, stuff like that.
Right.
But these haven't been, they're becoming more mainstream, but again, there's still a huge education component that needs to happen.
Right. So essentially like maybe leveraging like the AI to educate your potential customer, because essentially it's like the way for somebody that's thinking about it, who's never used it, is more of like, hey, can this solve my problem or my pain of like, you know, so, and essentially kind of answering their questions in that way, as opposed to like, oh, cryotherapy, like, what does that even mean? You know?
Yeah, it would be cool within this space to see where AI gets in maybe a few years' time, as far as creating, I don't want to say like protocols or programs, but recommendations for services based on people's ailments, their needs, right? You know, are they dealing with arthritis? Maybe they want to just look younger or feel younger, you know, maybe they're dealing with chronic back pain or whatever it may be. We have to be careful right now, because that kind of, we're kind of in this area. We offer a lot of medical services. We have a medical advisory board. We do a lot of telemedicine. So a doctor will get on, especially when it comes to like the IVs. We do a lot of medical weight loss as well, with semaglutide, and medications like that can help people lose weight. Doctors are very heavily involved, right? So there's a cost with the physician, but there's also liabilities, right? The physician takes that on. They're qualified to answer people's questions. So it'd be very interesting. Like it would be very cool to walk into an iCryo and be like, hey, yeah, I want this result. And then there's a recommendation, I mean, a tailored package of X number of sessions of red light and X number of IVs and X number of infrared sauna sessions and compression therapy, you know, whatever it may be. But again, you got to weigh that with the liabilities that presents when you start kind of acting like a doctor, and it's not actually a doctor, it's just AI. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's all these different levels of compliance. You're talking about HIPAA compliance and making sure that like, yeah, because at that point, it's not just like a customer service agent. It's there's more that goes into it when you have like a medical advice or, you know, sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess sure. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And that's something that we do deal with. So we use a system called Zenoti. It's great. It's got a lot of, it's very robust. So it's got a lot of awesome features, but it can be kind of rigid. And we come across, it's like, this would be so much easier to maybe do something natively on the website, but then we need to store guest profile, guest information to be compliant with HIPAA, like on our other system. And so we have to, that's something else that we have to deal with. It's not just like a normal product, maybe where like the cart can be over here on the website with some Shopify or WooCommerce integration.
Right.
So, no, we're dealing with people's health information and sensitive things like that. So that's a huge component and challenge that we face.
For sure. Well, I guess obviously now, right, that, like as you mentioned, you guys are scaling up and, you know, adding lots of new locations. So I guess I'm curious, right, if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, like where do you see things going for iCryo?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, hopefully we're successful in opening all those locations. So double really the size of the company. I think it'd be exciting to get new territories. I mean, I mentioned Canada is just going to explode, I'm sure. There's a really good group that iCryo is partnered with for Canada, and they have huge plans. I think it's like 50 locations like already planned out. You know, that'll roll out over time. But yeah, new areas. I mentioned Europe. I mean, who knows? Mexico, really, I think that there are big plans to be one of the not just national leaders in health and wellness, but a global leader in health and wellness as well.
It's amazing. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your career?
Oh, the biggest piece of advice. That's a good question. Well, no one likes paperwork, but I'll say documentation. I wish someone had said, you know, it's going to suck, but document everything. Meetings, and we try to record like our franchisee calls. And, you know, admittedly, there have been some franchisee calls. I'm like, shoot, you know, I forgot to hit the record button, right? So I'm guilty of that, because you know, things in a professional setting, one, you want to be able to, you want to protect yourself, and you want to protect everybody involved. Nothing is, and this is something I've learned in the past year, nothing is as valuable as the actual documentation. So I mean, even just meeting notes, following up with somebody and saying, hey, thanks for the call today. You know, this is what I understood. This is what we discussed, right? So that in a year's time or 2 years time, when disagreements come up or, you know, whatever the case may be, there is something to reference. And it can be, you know, it can be a little bit of a fine line. With it. I've dealt with a lot of athletes, for example, over the years with Rapid Rebuild, a lot of partnerships, a lot of, you know, sponsorships, and that ranged from maybe just getting a social media post in exchange for some product to, you know, yeah, we're going to be working yearly with you, right? So we want to have a contract, and you know, you want to have a very natural, open relationship. You don't want it to come across as so transactional. So it's not just, well, you know, I'm not going to do this because it's not in the contract, or you violated the contract, right?
Right.
But The way I would always frame it is like, hey, let's get just something down so we can all literally be on the same page. And that just checks it off, right?
Sure.
We can have a good relationship. We can kind of pivot on the go. You know, it can be that, you know, yeah, you agreed to one video, but yeah, let's break it into two or three. Like, I don't want to be so strict. I just want to have that documentation because it's going to protect everybody, especially when money is involved. Especially when money is involved, it can change. Can change people. And again, it's just, yeah. It protects everybody involved.
100% agree. And I'll tell you, just even like from our standpoint, like we started this company in full time for about a year. And the biggest issue that we had was one client where we didn't have a contract. And I'm just like, now we know, like it doesn't matter how small the project, it's a small project, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like we know, it's like, we cannot do any work without a contract because just can't, right? So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even take that a step further. Like the bigger the potential consequences of it going sour, you know, or something turning out wrong, the more it is worth to have. I mean, because even like, okay, we would do a lot of just in-house contracts, right? And it's like Rocket Lawyer was our friend for a while. But even then there are things where you might not want to bring in a lawyer and be like, lawyer's going to be $2,500, whatever it is to put this together. And we don't want that expense. Well, $2,500 to have a lawyer do it the right way when, you know, the potential negative consequences are $250,000 or more down the road.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure.
It's well worth it. So
yeah, I'm like, lawyers are important once you already have like a business and proof of concept. I feel like early on people spend so much money on lawyers before you're even like, you know, making a dollar. But I'm like, once you see this as a real company, I'm like, yeah, bring in the lawyers 100%.
Yeah. And again, once the more money that's involved, things change. So
awesome. So like if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, like best ways to get in contact?
Yeah. So I am on LinkedIn, just Robbie Jenkins. I think like the URL is, so it'd be / Robert D. Jenkins. But then you'll come up as Robbie. You can also email me Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E at JenkinsBusiness.com. So my wife and I do a little bit of consulting on the side as well. We've had some awesome partners over the past year or so. So that's a good one if people want to reach out to me.
Awesome. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you guys. Have a very successful 2024.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. It was nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.